edition of Something New. We're starting on this show. Who in the heck is in this country? The fact that I could do this every day now is kind of crazy. My personal favorite so far this month is the Venezuelan hitman, who killed at least four that we know of. Even Venezuela wants him. We found him in Texas, where he was working, using the permit the Biden administration gave him when he, unafraid, turned himself in to Border Patrol. Instead of apprehending him, he was, after all, wanted by Interpol. They went, yeah, but I'll probably vote Democrat. Here, have a work permit. Folks, I hope this stuff is hitting critical mass with the American people. After years of being gaslit by the Democrats and told the border's not open, we find out who's actually in the country. Like these two tragic illegal immigrants arrested in a fatal jet ski hit and run of a teenage Air Force recruit. They got them both. Yeah, they fled the scene because of course they did. Her name was Ava Moore. She was only 18. That's absolutely tragic. I cannot, it's just, you hit a certain age, you've had kids, and you realize what you miss if you die at that age. Yeah. Struck by two illegal immigrants who, of course, fled the scene, because why not? Laws don't apply to them. Norms. That's what the Democrats taught them. Dakirlin Alejandro Gonzalez and a man she allegedly fled with from Grapevine Lake were arrested on Tuesday after a standoff with police. Okay, so they didn't go quietly. Oh, these were going to be great Democrat voters. By the way, do you know why they fight so hard for them? Do you realize each illegal through chain migration will eventually bring three more? Those three will eventually bring three more and on and on and on. So it's like a never-ending pipeline of illegals who eventually become legals or have children who are legals and they vote Democrat, or so it is believed. So that's why the Democrats fight so hard for every last one, even the human traffickers, even the violent, even those who discredit their cause with their violence, like the four-time hitman from Venezuela. But otherwise, great Democrat vote. I mean, you know, don't knock it till you try it, I guess. Anyway, edition of who in the heck is in this country. And not all of them are illegally here. Some of them just show incredibly bad judgment on the part of the Democrats, like this guy I meant to get to yesterday. Jamal Wali, 36, brought to the U.S. in 2014, Obama, after working as an interpreter in Afghanistan. He was pulled over for a routine traffic violation in Fairfax, Virginia, at which point he shouted profanities at the police, professed his hatred for the U.S., because of course he hates America. Fit right in as a Democrat voter. That's why Democrats love these people. And regret for not supporting the Taliban. And eventually ended up opening fire on the police officers present, because why not? The shooting happened earlier this month, but the Virginia police just released the body cam footage. And it's quite something. And the good news here is Mr. Wali was killed in the exchange. We should have never brought him here. Not work. It's not a good fit, folks. And keep in mind, this guy was an interpreter. We actually knew who he was. The roughly 100,000 that Biden bought here from Afghanistan, just packed them on a plane, loaded them up, didn't take the time to figure out who they were. Now some of them have turned up on the terror watch list. We can't find out where they are. And I'm sure we'll hear from them later. Okay. Meanwhile, did you hear about this? But we never used to, when you grew up, did you know what an honor killing was? Did you ever hear of such a thing? Honor killing, like what is that even? Well, that's a thing in Iraq. Headline, UK Daily Mail, shocking new revelations about father who attempted to strangle his teen daughter in honor killing. He was mad she had an American boyfriend. In fact, he was mad she had a boyfriend at all. So to solve the problem, he did what any father would do. He told her he was putting her on a plane to force a marriage with an Afghan man. I'm sorry, with an Iraqi man, a much older gentleman. And if she did not go, he would kill her. You know, normal teenage daughter. Daddy conflict stuff in Iraq, not here. So she was absolutely terrified. Long story short, after he and the mom choked her, punched her and hit her, she fled to the only place she felt safe. Thank God she was able to be there, the school. Can you imagine this scene that unfolded? Mainstream Democrat media, of course, blacked this out. She's at the school. She's begging the staff to keep her safe. They find a safe house for her, somewhere safe she can go, but for some reason don't offer her transportation. The boyfriend doesn't have a car. He can't drive her. So they're standing there waiting for the bus, like the city bus, in front of the school, right? But they don't make it in time. This is Timberline High School in Lacey, Washington. Mom and dad pull up. Dad immediately commences the honor killing in front of the school. Boyfriend tries to fight off dad as they scuffle. More and more kids get involved, which is the only reason she almost died. She spent days in the hospital. The only reason she's still alive. Well, mom wasn't happy about that. After the other students had subdued dad, mom tried to choke her to death in front of the school. Her father had recently been threatening her with honor killing for refusing an arranged marriage with an older man in another country. Yeah. So, anyway, because of language barriers and other confusion, police originally did not realize that mom tried to kill her too and let her go. She ran around for a few days intimidating family members and eventually tried to cross over into Canada, taking the other kids in the suitcases with her. They eventually got her. Both are going to be on trial, although it's, you know, People's Republic of Washington, so God knows they probably don't care. But yeah. Anyway, the boyfriend saved her life. He was hospitalized as well. You should see her. Oh my gosh. Anyway, this concludes another edition of Who in the Heck is in This Country? Folks, when you hear these stories and you see what Trump is doing with our universities who are letting in people who advocate for designated terror groups, you understand why Trump's doing what he's doing at the colleges. I know it sounds weird, especially if you're a new listener to the show. Like, why does he want their social media postings? Well, why is he demanding Harvard and other, you know, and other colleges turn over a list of who they're giving these visas to? That's why. So they can run up against the terror watch list. Because unfortunately, there are some really wonderful cultures in this world that are just not compatible with ours. And they need to have free speech rights and stay in their own country. Not be brought here by liberal college administrators who are very naive about the world. Texter writes, terror honor killings are part of Islamic law worldwide. Muslim parents, grandparents, and male relatives can kill women pretty much at will. And that's what he explained to his daughter. He didn't care who saw him, and apparently not, since he did it in front of her school. Poor thing. Texter writes, love you, Tara. Oh, thanks. Okay, some positive feedback. I'm a truck driver in Northeast Georgia, and I've been listening to you every morning for years. Love your podcast as well. Well, thank you very much. It's the Battleground America podcast. It was actually epic yesterday. Who is the president? Hunter Biden, apparently, with an assist from Jill. Texter writes, just according to the New York Post. Texter writes, hey, Tara. Where did this go? Sharia law should be outlawed nationwide. Yeah. Texter writes, Tara, not only Dem voter, they are chaos agents, individuals that don't expect freedom from government rule, totally dependent on government, i.e. your replacement. Okay, folks. So this is really really interesting what's going on between Russia and Trump right now, trading a war of words as the Senate prepares for sanctions on Russia to try to get them to the negotiating table, and they should probably try it. But the problem is this. Nobody is explaining this to the American people. You got to go read in foreign papers to even understand what's actually happening. The huge problem is this, and I've wondered about this from the beginning. NATO hates Trump. Who's NATO? France, Germany, UK. Less than a year ago, France was asserting the right to extradite Trump for trial for things he said about transgender people online. Elon Musk, too, and Riley Gaines. In fact, they were asserting the right to imprison Trump in France. That's who France is. UK was asserting the right to do that to Elon Musk. These people are not our friends. The first thing that J.D. Vance did was go over there and remember, give that lecture to Germany. Stop censoring the opposition party. They are now more popular than you in the polls. You cannot censor them out of existence. You are acting like the USSR. So understand something, just basically to understand what's going on right now. This is a massive fight. France, Germany, and the UK, their leadership, they hate Trump. They hate Vance. They resent having to deal with them at all. And they want World War III so badly. Things were going great under Biden. They were lobbing long-range missiles into Russia. World War III is their economic plan. So this idea that Trump was ever going to negotiate peace, I've never understood it. Because if you notice something, NATO never authorized Trump to negotiate on their behalf. Did you catch that? Trump just assumed the mantle and started negotiating for peace. NATO resents the heck out of that. And again, the only people in NATO who matter are France, Germany, and the UK. And there was never any formal proclamation or designation or any of that. And I always wondered from the beginning, how is Trump going to get NATO to go along with any peace that he, you know, agreement he gets with Ukraine, Russia, whoever? Well, I was right. So for months, and you won't know this if you watch US media, for months what happens is this. And this is as much about Ukraine versus Russia as it is about Trump versus NATO. They've been undermining Trump. These countries have. In fact, Germany right now just launched a plan to build their military up so they can be ready for war with Russia by 2029. So they have war plans extending out to 2029. They're not letting this war slip away. It's, again, their economic plan. And the other plan was that we were going to spend, you know, hundreds of trillions, you know, billions, maybe trillions eventually, in Ukraine, and they'd launder a little off the top, everybody get rich, and it would, you know, fuel the German economy since they're not really going to have manufacturing anymore since their energy sources are whack. And that's been the whole plan. And then they were going to take Russia and partition it into six parts, divide it up, and Europe will rule it. Russia knows that, and they're like, no, we're not doing that. And they're having a fight. They're all having a fight, right? They resent the heck Germany, England, Ukraine, all of them, France, and really probably, quite frankly, Russia, that Trump is involved in this at all. So every time that Putin makes any kind of gesture of coming to the peace table, what happens? Well, all of those weapons that Joe Biden and Mike Johnson and all that funding that they gave to Ukraine, which was really to NATO, because Ukraine can't fire any of that stuff. They don't have the tech. Those weapons rain down on the heads of Russian civilians. So what happened this weekend? Well, for the third time, they attempted to assassinate Vladimir Putin. The last time they attempted to assassinate Vladimir Putin, we admitted they attempted to assassinate Vladimir Putin. We were just cool with it. He was supposed to be too. And every time Zelensky threatens to assassinate Putin, Putin gets assassinated or there's an attempt. Makes Putin mad, right? So NATO, every time Putin starts to come to the table, will start mass bombing inside Russia. And it's not just the attack on the helicopter. This has been going on for months. And they'll do it in defiance of Trump, behind Trump's back. Trump didn't have anything to do with it. And they're doing it using our weaponry, a lot of which and funding we gave them before Trump was in office. So this is NATO undermining Trump behind his back. Now, Trump's mad at Russia because Trump said to Russians, ignore them. I know they're bombing inside your country. This is hard. Your people don't like it. They want to retaliate, but we got to get peace. And Putin's looking at Trump going, but peace? How are you going to enforce peace? You can't even get him to stop bombing over the weekend. This is where we are. This is where we actually are. And a good way to know what is actually going on is to read foreign news, Times, English language. Times of India is very good. It's they're friends with us and friends with Russia. So you get like actually balanced coverage and you understand what's going on. So that's what happened this weekend. They did a massive, the largest massive Ukraine and NATO did drone strike on Russia in years. Yes, they surrounded his helicopter and all of that. He calls it an assassination attempt. Don't know. But they hit so many other spots too. So Russia retaliated by hitting the part of Ukraine the drones were launched from. It was a drone launching site. In our media reports, that is civilian. Although if you read deeply into it, you can find some people being honest, but you really got to read deep. So they're fully at war and they're ignoring Trump. Trump is very embarrassed by this. And the key fault here is, because you know what Trump said he's going to come in first aid, he's going to fix this, right? Now, his natural instinct is to throw his hands in the air and walk away from NATO, which is what he should do. We do not need to go to war, but he's got this problem. He's smack in the middle of European tariff negotiations right now. What does Europe want more than anything? A war with Russia, preferably. And then they'd like to go ahead and beat Russia, assassinate Putin, and then divide Russia into six parts. Just the economic plan for the next 20 years. So Trump is now in the way of that, and it's coming up at the tariff negotiations. That's what this is. So he can't go to war with NATO, which again is France, Russia, I'm sorry, will be soon at the rate we're going, once they partition Russia, France, England, and the in Germany. Well, he can't go to war with NATO. He can't walk away from NATO. He can't do any of that because of tariff negotiations. Those countries are taking advantage of that, and they bombed the heck out of Russia this weekend to try to stop peace. That's a game. Trump is very, very embarrassed here. By all of this, he needs a fall guy, and he just blamed Putin. But quite frankly, all these people are insane. They're all nuts. And you can see what kind of happened here. In order to stop them from killing each other, Pete Hegseth put a hold on us sending military equipment in February. Remember that? And as soon as the tariff negotiations started, you could tell the Eurowinis were mad about that. And Trump points to Hegseth and goes, oh no, did you stop sending equipment? Oh no, you didn't tell me. Yeah, start again. Yeah, Trump knew. Hegseth, as a good team member, took one on the chin. Oh, you mean you didn't want me to stop sending equipment to Ukraine? Yeah, because Trump was trying to stop them from killing each other to get them all to the table long enough to negotiate peace. But what's become clear to Vladimir Putin is that Trump can't stop NATO. It's unfortunate. He's not God. He can't stop NATO. And NATO very much wants this war. And the Germans actually recently this week, as recently as this past week, announced their war plans through 2029. So that's their personal war plans. So folks, this is what's actually going on. If it said, and this is why Trump came out and said, Putin's gone crazy. Oh, he's bombing for no reason. Why is he saying that? You got to placate the Euroweenies long enough to get them to sign the tariffs so that he can go back to exiting NATO. But he can't do it right now because it would mess up the tariff negotiations. He needs those in place really quickly so our markets don't spin weirdly out of control here. And no one will tell you the truth on this. Nobody will. I just did. It's a mess. And, you know, I know Trump. He always finds a way. He'll find a way now. But I still don't know how he's going to bring NATO to heel, and that's got to happen or this war is not going to end. NATO, by the way, is trying to drag us into the war. And you saw that in the Wall Street Journal. Drudge highlighted it, America prepares for war. And that's really what the Wall Street Journal is saying, that, you know, we are basically out there testing these missile launch systems to hit Russia with. You want World War III? That'll do it. I don't think Trump's going to do it, though. I think he's just trying to bring everyone to the table.